Good evening and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind with Believer City Church. My name is Ben. Tonight we'll be going through Judges chapter 8 and recapping the passage that we discussed on Sunday morning at Believer City Church. Hope everybody's having a good night tonight. We'll recap the life, the close of the life of Gideon from Judges chapter 8. He's a guy that started out great. God used him in awesome ways. He demonstrated an awesome faith. And then he has sort of this questionable end to his life. And so we'll discuss some of the details of that tonight. But if you're new to this, if you're listening on the radio or watching online, this is something we do every week. And we also have groups in the Menominee area getting together, meeting to have some discussions that follow this broadcast. And so if you're looking to get involved in a group, certainly you can contact our church office and find a location that's nearest to you. Great way to get to know us, great way to get involved in what we're doing, but also great way to grow in your faith, to talk with other believers, to have your understanding opened up by getting a chance to discuss and say aloud to other believers what you think, how to live it out, and all the rest. So encourage you, if you're out there, to take a look into that, joining a group that's meeting in the community. Well, tonight, again, we're talking about Gideon. The chapter 8 of Judges that we covered, there's an awful lot there, and kind of meanders through, and we're just going to hit the highlights tonight, but it starts out where Gideon is not receiving the support to finish off the battle that he probably wished he was getting. Okay, he's fighting against an army that's bigger than his. He's doing it for multiple days in a row. He's tired, he's hungry. And he has different groups of people, three groups of people, in fact, who step in either to complain or just to resist his efforts. And so he's got to refocus a couple of different times. He's got to give them his attention. He's got to smooth over some situations. And we see it start to wear on him as time goes on. So the first group that comes in his way, they're complaining. Why didn't you ask us to come join you sooner? We could have been more helpful. Just a general complaint about the way he was leading. Why'd you do it that way? And Gideon smooths over the situation. He kind of gives them a soft response. He's a good leader at this point. He's got his head screwed on right, his wits about him. And he knows he needs to get back to battle. So he just says, now's not the time to fight. And he smooths it over with a gracious response. We talked about this on Sunday. It's common for people to complain about leaders and leadership. If you're a Christian, this has no place in your life. It doesn't mean that you can't be honest about what's true and what's not true. It doesn't mean that your leaders are perfect in every way and you have to submit to everything they say and do no matter what. But it does mean that you need to be humble. You need to be somebody who's willing to humble yourself when you have a differing opinion about how something should be done than your leader. And if you want to grow with God and if you want to submit yourself to God, it's going to involve submitting yourself to your spiritual leaders. Okay, we quoted from Hebrews chapter 13 that says, submit to your leaders and obey them. They keep watch over your souls. Okay, the people that are your pastors and church leaders, they're the ones that are leading you onward in your discipleship of Jesus. They're going to have to give an account for everything they do to God, everything they say, everything they do. Therefore, with that heavy burden, make their leadership role a joy for them. Don't make it a struggle. Don't add extra weight and heaviness to it, because it's hard. We talked about that on Sunday too. We should make it a joy for our leaders. And I wish these people would have made it a little bit more of a joy for Gideon instead of provoking him into some pretty serious anger. Remember, he goes on a rampage. He gets through the first group, but the second group, they're making him more and more upset. They refuse to help him. He's asking just for simple things. Give me some bread. Give my men some bread. They're hungry. They're tired. And we really need some help. The people refused. They didn't want to take a side in the battle. And so they refused to help Gideon until he finishes the job. Okay? They make him prove himself yet again. Okay? He's already done so once. He's now in the process of doing it to the end. And yet, they're going to make him earn probably more respect than he needed to earn. He deserved better than this. But that makes him upset. He gets irritated with them. And he ends up at this point kind of turning to his own flesh, okay, basically executing his own desires of frustration and anger and punishment, because he promises these people, once I finish the battle, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take care of you too. And so these people act like they're his enemies. In a sense, maybe they are. They didn't want to help him. They refused to help him. And yet he holds on to that. He holds a grudge. And he goes back and gets his revenge after the battle ends. Because he does capture the kings of his enemies, okay, the kings of Midian. He ends the battle that God had him in, but now he's created this new vendetta, and he's going to be the one to go back and teach these guys a lesson. This is where he starts to make his own decisions about what needs to happen next, execute his own judgment about who needs to be harmed and punished, and this is where we see Gideon start to go a little bit awry. Okay, now, there's a couple things that happen as the chapter switches over from the first half into the second half. The first is that the people want to make Gideon their king. Okay, they had mixed support for him during the battle, but now they're all excited because he did finish the job. And Gideon gains this quick and immense popularity, and they want to make him their king. Well, Gideon quickly refuses, and he says, "No, I will not be your king. God is our king. God is the one who will rule over us. I'm not going to do that. I want God to be the king." King, he's perfect in this sense right here. Up until this point in history in the Bible, Israel had no king but God. He was the one ruling over them. He's the one they worshipped, and he's the one they obeyed. He's their king. And so Gideon is right on the money here at first. However, he's right on the money with his words at first. However, what he does next is a little bit questionable. He asks the people, "Okay, I won't be your king, but will you give me some of the spoils of the battle?" So in battle, one side fights the other. One side wins and sort of takes the money and possessions and food and supplies and all the rest of the losing side. And in this case, that included a lot of gold earrings and jewelry. The Midianites apparently were famous for that, including crescent-shaped earrings, is what the text says. So Gideon collects this spoil, this tribute, and it's sort of the action of a king. He said he didn't want to be their king, and yet he sort of collects this tribute from them, from the spoils of the war. Now, what he wants to do with it is make them a golden object called an ephod. Okay, he makes this object. I believe he wanted to honor God with it. It would be the thing that they would use to remember the great victory that they had. It would be something the people could just use as a reminder for what had happened. However, it doesn't seem to be what God wanted for him, and it doesn't turn out to be anything good for the Israelites. Okay, they create this golden object. Gideon does. They're going to honor and worship God with it, maybe. And what ends up happening, though, is they end up worshiping the object itself. Gideon creates this golden ephod that ends up becoming something the people start to worship. Now, whether they're worshiping Gideon himself, again, he had a ton of popularity, and they wanted to elevate him into hero and king status. Whether they wanted to worship him or they wanted to worship his golden object, what he did, what he chose to do here, led them into idolatry. It led them into spiritual adultery. Okay, they were worshiping God. Gideon was trying to get them to do that, but now they were also worshiping this golden object, and it goes real bad here. Okay, the people's faith in God is so weak, they're easily ready to mix their faith with other objects. Okay, if you're a Christian, you're going to love God the most, and you're going to love God the best, and there's no other gods beside him, so you're going to love God alone. You can't mix Christianity with another form of faith. I've heard of people trying to be a Christian Buddhist. It doesn't work like that. I've heard of people trying to mix their Christianity with just a love of the world. The Bible comes along and says you can't love both God and the world. Okay? People try to love God and money. This is a lot of us try and do this. Jesus says you can't do that either. You're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. And so the people of Israel here, they worship this golden ephod that Gideon made. And this is Gideon's enormous mistake. If he wanted to be their priest, he was a really lousy one. Okay, if he wanted to make this ephod, which was the garment of a priest, except he made it out of pure gold and it weighed like 50 pounds. If he wanted to make this and be their priest, he was a really lousy priest because he didn't lead them toward God. He actually led them back into a new form, not back, but he led them into a new form of idolatry. Originally, he led them out of idol worship, a false god named Baal. Then he leads them back toward God, and now he leads them to a new idolatry, okay, this golden object. If you were with us on Sunday, we talked briefly about how it's possible to create gold objects in our lives that end up becoming a barrier for us and our worship of God. It can be things of the world that we just fall in love with, things that we value more than God. It could be our career. We think that's the best thing ever. We give that the most of our intention, and we have a hard time loving and serving God the way that we should, in just full heart worship of God. But it can also be religious things. It can be the things we do for God. We turn that into a golden ephod. And so I'm not saying we worship the thing we do for God, but we make that the most important part of our faith. And sometimes we end up even serving God without worshiping him while we serve. So we're not really doing it for God. We're doing it for the activity that we love. Therefore, we're literally worshiping this object. We're making that the definition and the most important part of our faith. We can lead people astray with this. You know, we deceive ourselves for one, but we can certainly make Christianity look like it's all about what you do. So people see us, they say, wow, what a great Christian. And they're excited because we're volunteering, you know, at the library, or we're doing something in the kids ministry, or we're doing something to serve the Lord, and they're impressed by that, and they're excited about that, and they can't see past the thing that we're doing to the God that we're doing it for. And so this can become a barrier. We can cause others to be misled. Okay, we can create these ephods. Now, one other thing that happens as the chapter ends is Gideon ends up basically living out the rest of his life, 40 more years, in the lifestyle of a king. He marries a bunch of women, he has a bunch of children, and he names one of those children Abimelech. The name Abimelech means my father is king. Okay, so Gideon didn't want to be the king, but then he lives like a king, and he names one of his children, one of his sons, my father is the king. And so there's this hypocrisy that happens at the end of Gideon's life. Okay, he's inconsistent about what he said and about what he did. And hypocrisy is a horrible sin. If we say we're going to do something, if we say that we're going to love and serve God, if we do something different, we've now misrepresented what we've said. We've lied with what we've said. And the things that we're doing, basically that's what's telling the truth. Those are the Abimelechs in our lives. Okay, those are the evidence of our inconsistency and of our hypocrisy. And so Gideon here, he says he wanted to do one thing. He says he was going to do one thing, but he ends up doing something totally different. And over the course of 40 years, I suppose it's easy to forget about the original statements. Maybe we're wrong to hold him to that exact statement, but I actually think the Bible records it because that's what he really, really wanted. He didn't want to be the king. He wanted God to be the king, and he tried. He tried to lead the people. You know, I wish the best. I hope the best for Gideon. The Bible seems to want to remember him well. The last word in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11. The last word on Gideon in the Bible, that is, Hebrews chapter 11. It wants to remember Gideon for his great faith. Okay, and so he led the Israelites in battle. He was victorious. God is good. God won for him, and Gideon wanted the people to follow God now. But he lives this inconsistent life that makes it hard for the people to follow his lead if they're going to live for God. And so he does the actions of a king. He makes this idol for them that causes them to all stumble into idolatry. It becomes a snare for Gideon and his family. Apparently, he can't get away from this popularity that the people wanted to give him. He can't undo the actions of his golden ephod. Maybe he worshipped the ephod itself. Who knows? But Gideon is remembered for his great faith. And so this hypocrisy is not the defining moment of his life. It's his faith. That's what's the defining moment. That's how the Bible remembers him. That's how the scripture closes the story of Gideon. It says, Israel wouldn't remember the good that Gideon had done. So they only focused on the bad. They were only misled by the bad. For us, we can make Abimelechs. We can have inconsistencies in our life. We can have outright hypocrisy that basically shows that we don't believe what we say we believe. And it's real easy to say Jesus is Lord, and it's real easy also to live a life that is basically showing that that's not true. He's not our Lord. The point of all this is to say that God loves us and he uses inconsistent people. Was Gideon a hypocrite? Yes, he was. Okay, but the Bible remembers him as a man of faith. We will all be inconsistent. There's going to be times of hypocrisy in our lives. Question is not whether that'll happen. The question is whether we'll repent of it. The question is whether we'll put up a fight to try to not let it happen. And the question is whether or not we'll actually care enough when we are inconsistent, when we are being a hypocrite, that we'll go to people and repent of our sins, not just inwardly of our wrong decisions, but we'll do the effort, we'll make the effort to actually try to undo the damage that it does to others. Okay, the story of Gideon is done now. He passes away at the end of chapter 8. His children, their lives, follows in chapter 9. The story plays out where nothing good is happening. The people are spiraling away from God. Their faith was so weak by the time Gideon died, they were just ready to worship a different God altogether. And that's how we see it play out at the end of chapter 8. And it just gets worse in chapter 9. Okay, well, our discussions tonight will go on in the Menominee area. I hope you're part of one. I hope you get a chance to voice your thoughts and talk about how to apply some of this stuff to your life. And there's plenty we can learn from Gideon, and there's plenty we can learn from the scripture whenever we open it. So I hope you guys have some good discussion with each other. I hope you're able to put some of these pieces together and connect the dots into your own life. God bless everybody. We'll see you guys on Sunday.